I want to turn your Bibles to the scripture that we want to start with here, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. If you recall, I probably used this verse a few weeks ago in another message, but we want to use it again. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him apart, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what sign shall be of thy coming, and of the end of the world." Now the actual Hebrew word that would be translated there would read end of this age. Planet Earth is not going to suddenly explode into a ball of something or other and be totally destroyed like some people predict with the end of the world. But it's the end of the age that is coming about, and the end of this current age. And we'll be going into a new age, not that age of Aquarius that people used to sing about, not some other age that people are talking about. One person I saw the other day, they wrote something about, "We're entering into a new age. Don't you just feel the peace and the love?" And you look around and people are shooting and killing people everywhere and all this other stuff is going on. I'm sorry, I don't feel any peace and love from that. You know, I think we entered into the age of insanity. But there's coming a new age, that's for sure, though. And that's what we're talking about. I want to refer back also in Matthew to chapter 12, verse 32. And here's what it has to say. "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come." And in the Hebrew, again, that word world would be translated this age or the age to come. So I just wanted to use that one for clarification. We are talking about some event that is to come. Planet Earth is still going to be there. But I'll tell you, there's going to be something that's going to happen and something that's going to change. Back in the 1970s, a man by the name of Gordon Jensen wrote a song titled "Redemption Draweth Nigh." Anyone here ever heard that song? Few people have, and I tried to find in my collection of stuff the other day if I had a copy of it, but I didn't, and Katrina looked it up online and got me the words, and I want to read just a few of the words from this song. And it starts out, first verse, "Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then how can I just help but feel how much closer his coming is today?" Then the chorus is, "Signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh." Next verse is, "Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills the land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again. But the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon Jesus Christ will descend." And then it goes back into the chorus again about signs of the times. It ends with, "Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh." My understanding is this gentleman, as he wrote the song, had people come and tell him that, the first group he approached to record it said, "Oh, people don't want to listen to stuff like that." And they refused to record it and said it wouldn't get anywhere. He went to a few other groups that recorded it, and it was an extremely popular song. And in fact, I was just following up on it, and I guess they say that Ernie Haas, who used to be with the Cathedrals, and I forget what the name of the group he's with now, probably has one of the best renditions of it that's on recorded today. But redemption draws nigh. We look around, and if you pick up the newspaper, do you really read a lot of good stuff in the newspaper? I had a preacher friend years ago, and this was back in the 80s. He said he refused to listen to the news or read the newspaper because all the stuff in it was bad. Well, I believe, though, that we as individuals, we as Christians in particular, need to be informed about what's going on in the world around us. How are we going to know what's happening? How are we going to know what the situations are? We need to be an informed people. We don't need to have our heads buried in the sand because it doesn't matter what's going on and what bad things are happening. We know we have something to look forward to. We know that our redemption is getting closer day by day. Just about 2 weeks ago, I delivered a message entitled, When the Earth Shakes. And I thought it was interesting. After that message, just a few days later, a strong quake hit southern Sumatra and Indonesia. And Indonesia had already had several earthquakes in the previous weeks. And if we want to read a little bit more about chapter 24 of Matthew, when Jesus is talking to the disciples about the signs, he said, And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And if you look around, if you are got your head out of the sand and you're up aware of what's going on in the world today, we know that there are wars. There are rumors of wars. We know that kingdom is coming against kingdom. We know that there's been earthquakes in divers places recently. We know that there's famines. We know that there's pestilence. We know that all these things are taking places. In fact, right now, in one particular country, I believe is it Syria, that there's a civil war going on right now. And they're people against people from their own country. And I was reading the other day as I was falling upon something else, and some nations, unfortunately, and this is a bad thing to really represent the cause of Christ, but different tribes in that particular nation, even though they may be Christians in that, they'll fight each other because of the things that are going on in the world today, the demonic influence that is taking place in the world today. And it doesn't take anyone of really extreme intelligence to look around and say, hey, there is demonic activity going on today. There are things going on in the world today that is orchestrated by our enemy, Satan, who is trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy you. Matthew 24:14 goes on to say, And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout the whole world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, some of us here, our parents could not understand in their day how that could happen. How can you reach the whole world? In their generation, it was not possible. I'm talking about people who lived in the first half of the 20th century. It was not possible to reach the whole world. And yet here we are, from the middle of the 20th century to 13 years into the 21st century, and it's being done every day. You could stand right here in Columbia, Tennessee, with the proper equipment, and you can reach the entire world. Just hard to imagine how that's possible, but it is. And that's not only in the secular realm, but it's also in the church realm, because you see, the gospel or the good news of the kingdom is being preached throughout the whole world today through mediums such as shortwave radio, satellite television, and the internet. Each message we minister here is recorded. It's then uploaded to a website, and anybody, anywhere in the world that has access to the internet can listen to that message. Christian television stations broadcast. They send the signal to a satellite approximately 24,000 miles up above the earth. That satellite then beams that message back down to various parts of the world. And with that technology, it is possible to preach the gospel to the entire world. And right now, to my knowledge, with Christian television being broadcast 24 hours a day, the whole world is practically being reached today as we speak with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing how that's done. I know I worked for several years for a company whose primary customer was a giant in the aerospace industry. And through that association, I became aware of how some of this would happen, how some of these things would be possible. And I looked at some of the technology and was just amazed at how this particular device could do all of these things. Can do a lot more than what we think they can do, too. But anyway, can do a lot of stuff. And for those of you that have DirecTV, for example, I was there when that was first coming out and saw how, and I was amazed at how this can be done, that you can send that signal up, it can come back down half a world away, and anybody that has a receiver can reach it. And we think about, well, there are some people in some parts, they don't have this stuff. You'd be surprised what technology is in some places. There may be people who are living in mud huts and they're eating bugs for lunch, but they've got access either to the internet or to a television. It's just amazing. But it's there. Technology is possible. It's being done on a daily basis. Go on and we read. And again, still in Matthew chapter 24. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. How many of you have been listening to the news this week? Well, on Friday, February the 15th, 2013, last number I read was 1,100 people were injured as a meteorite exploded over central Russia with the power of an atomic bomb. Over 3,000 buildings were damaged, and in the newspaper today, several of the newspapers today, there were pictures of some of the damage that was done by that explosion of that meteorite that landed in Russia. Later that same day, an asteroid half the size of a football field buzzed the Earth in a historic flyby, barely missing the planet just hours after this smaller object exploded above Russia. And by the way, that asteroid came within 17,200 miles of Earth, which is closer than that DirecTV satellite is. So that's coming in pretty close. Later that same day, San Francisco, California, about 8 p.m., blue streaks flashed across the sky, appearing to be headed toward the ground. Again, more fallout from whatever. They're not sure. Said the stars would begin to fall from the sky. Signs of the times. But God's word tells us that there's an even greater one that's yet to come. People talk about, and they talk about in the evolutionary process, that the dinosaurs were killed off by a meteorite that crashed into Earth. And that's what killed them off. But the Bible talks about something like that. It's going to wreak havoc upon the earth, because it says in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, then the third angel blew the trumpet, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell into the third part of the rivers and into the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Do you ever wonder what wormwood was? Is it some star that they see up in the sky right now and they say, oh, that star, we're going to call it Wormwood? No, it's not talking about that. But the name Wormwood means bitterness. Therefore, the third part of the waters became wormwood, became bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. It's going to be a tremendous effect on the planet Earth, a sign that is yet to come. But there's some other things that are going to take place that even have a greater impact upon planet Earth and the people that live here. One of those events took place this week as well. And it could have a direct bearing on the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and the person in the book of Revelation is referred to as the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 talks about this. And it says, behold, another beast came out of the earth, which had two horns like the lamb, but he spake like the dragon. And he did all that the first beast could do before him, and he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he did great signs that he made fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived them that dwelled on the earth by the signs which were permitted to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make the image of the beast which had the wound of a sword and did live. And then it goes on in chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, and says about this same individual, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of that false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles to go unto the kings of the earth and unto the whole world to gather them to battle on that great day of the Lord God Almighty." So the Bible has talked about a person. He's talked about two individuals and those final days before Jesus physically sets foot on planet Earth again. One that we refer to as the Antichrist, and the other that we refer to as the false prophet. Now, the false prophet, if you read this, is really kind of his, in a warped sense of way, his spiritual advisor. It's what you might call it. An event took place this week. February the 11th, 2013, Pope Benedict XVI announced his resignation as head of the Roman Catholic Church, citing age and health reasons. He's only the second pope in history to do so, the last being Pope Celestine V on December the 13th, 1294. Over 600 years have transpired, almost 700 and some years actually, have transpired since the last time an event like this took place. And as I was reading on this week, some folks say that Pope Benedict is actually currently in good health. But let's go a little further and look back a little bit more into this picture. There was an Irish saint by the name of Saint Malachy who lived in 1094 to 1148. And he had a vision in which he created a prophetic list of the last 112 popes. They begin with Celestine II, who was the pope from 1143 to 1144 up to the current day. And in 1969, Archbishop H.E. Cardinale wrote, "It is fair to say that the vast majority of Malachy's predictions about successive popes is amazingly accurate." Here's what he wrote about Pope number 112. Pope number 112 would be the final pope. And you're not going to read this and what they are reporting in the newspaper particularly, but Pope number 112, who will be the next pope, Benedict is number 111. According to Malachy's list, Pope number 112 will be an apostate pope who would lead the church to destruction. How would you lead the church to destruction? I've preached on this before several years back, but I believe the day is coming when there will be a collusion between that false prophet, who I believe will come out of an Islamic background, again, in collusion with that false prophet who will come out, according to Malachy's predictions, out of the Roman Catholic Church, and he will lead into a merger of the two faiths, creating an apostasy that will bring about the final days before Jesus sets foot on planet Earth. Pope number 112. So if St. Malachy's predictions or prophecies are true, as it seems to have been the case, number 112 will be sitting in the papal seat sometime in March 2013, next month, just really a few weeks away. Malachy describes the last pope as Petrus Romanus, or Peter the Roman, a leading candidate, or at least one of the leading candidates to succeed Benedict as Cardinal Tarcosio, and I'm not good at Italian, that's obvious, Pietro Ivasio Bertone, who was born in Romano, Italy, and his name could be rendered Peter the Roman. Well, the next few weeks will tell. But I want to also say there is another candidate who in there that some are listing as a good possibility of becoming, whose name could also be rendered Peter the Roman. You say, well, that kind of sounds like a lot of bad news you've been laying on us this morning. We've had earthquakes. We've had meteors striking the earth. We've got wars. We've got famines. We've got, in our country, we've got unemployment. We've got sicknesses. And we've got all kinds of things going on. Is there any good news? Well, yes, there is. There is good news. Because, you see, that good news is Jesus is coming. And his coming is sooner than it was before. It's sooner tomorrow than it was today. He is coming soon. When? I don't know for sure. I just know he's coming, and I know it's soon. How? I don't know exactly how all these things are going to play out, but I know this one thing, that God is still in control. He's still in charge of the situation, and our fate is still in his hands. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. Look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die. Now, we were talking about in our family just the other day about people dying. As we grow older, we all realize that the day will come that we'll physically die. It happens to all men. The Bible even says it's appointed unto every man to die, and then the judgment. So every one of us seated here, realistically, we're all dying. Some sooner, some later. And we don't know when. We don't know how. We just know that it's eventually going to happen. But he says here, not all of us will die. But we will be changed. It will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar, for that shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too shall be changed. That day is going to come, and that day is coming soon, that Jesus is going to have that angel blow the trumpet. It's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to hear it. Those of us who are alive and remain are going to hear it, and we're going to all be caught to meet him in the air, and we're going to live with him forever. And we won't have to worry about dying, because death will no longer have a hold upon us. We shall be changed. We don't have to worry about, are we going to catch the flu? We don't have to worry about, are we going to break a bone? We don't have to worry about, are we going to have this or that happen to us? We shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality, and we'll live forever in the presence of the Lord. Isaiah wrote approximately 2,700 years ago. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, for lo, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. And approximately 700 years after that, just about 2,000 years ago, John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos wrote these things in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I shall write upon him my new name. He's saying there's a day that is coming, that there's going to be a place that we're going for, that new Jerusalem where we're going to live with the Lord forever. But first, before that happens, there's that final outcome that has to take place for planet Earth. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Because you see, we've got all these things going on around us today. All that are orchestrated and have been orchestrated for close to 7,000 years by Satan himself, bringing sin and sickness and all of these things into the earth that are happening today. There's going to be that final outcome. But it's all going to be dealt with. And it says this about that person we call the Antichrist, about that person we call the false prophet. In Revelation chapter 19, 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him that false prophet that wrought miracles before him, whereby he deceived them and received the beast's mark, and them that worshipped his image. These both were alive, cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Well, I know what their future is. I know what my future is. Some people say, "How you can't know the future." I don't know my immediate future, but I know what my final future is. My final future is to be with the Lord, because I have Jesus Christ living in my heart. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm His, and that's where my future's at. And those who do not have Jesus Christ, those such as the false prophet, those such as the Antichrist, and all those that follow, their destination is the lake of fire. And one of these days they'll be cast into it. Then Revelation 21, 1 through 2 goes on to read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." God's going to fix this whole thing. We're living in a corrupted creation right now. God created earth perfect, but sin entered into the world and corrupted it. But God's going to take care of it. And He says, "I'm going to create a new heaven, a new earth. All these things are going to pass away." And in verse 2 it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride trimmed for her husband." That city, the New Jerusalem, that city that was spoken of so many years ago, these things that Isaiah spoke of 2,700 years ago are coming to pass. And when? Not too far from now. Amen. And I firmly believe with all my heart that most of us, if not all of us, seated in this congregation today will be alive. We'll be among those who are alive and remain when that shofar sounds. Because I don't think it's that far away. I think the time is at hand. You know, God's time schedule is not the same of ours. But in His time frame, a few years is just the blink of an eye. It's nothing. Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. His return is at hand. Some people get a little bit confused with the rapture and with the actual physical second coming of Jesus Christ. The actual physical second coming of Jesus Christ is at the end of the tribulation period, where He sets foot on Mount of Olives. The rapture is that event that takes place prior to that, when those are raised to meet Him in the air. And I'll tell you, that day is coming. It's going to be sooner than we think. I know that we get onto sometimes disagreements. I'd like to put it that way. Disagreements among Bible scholars as to whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, and I'm sorry, I can't buy post-trib at all. But either way, it's at hand. It's at hand. And for all we know, we may actually be living in the very first part of it. Jesus is coming. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're a personal Savior, and you're listening to me today, and you've never made that commitment to Him, or maybe you did make a commitment at one time and you drifted away and you fell away from God and you went into the paths of sin once again, I want to tell you today, the Bible tells you, is your day of salvation. It is time to get your heart right with God, because you have no guarantee that tomorrow will come. You have no guarantee in the natural that tomorrow will come. Something could happen and you could die within the next few moments. You have no guarantee that that trumpet isn't going to sound in the next few moments or in the next few days. Today is the day. And if you want to go to live with Him forever, you want to be a part of those residents living in the New Jerusalem and dwelling with God throughout eternity, you better get your heart right with God and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Otherwise, I just read your destination back here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. That's what it is, the lake of fire. Father, today I pray for those that are listening to me, wherever they may be. Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. And Father, I just feel right now that there's someone who is on the verge of making a decision. They're on that teetering place, you might call it, kind of teetering back and forth. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. And Father, they would yield and surrender their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And Father, as we sing that song earlier today, I surrender all. Father, they would say, Jesus, I surrender all that I have to you. I surrender my life to you. I give myself to you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I pray that you speak to those hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.